Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had some fine guests in today.
Yes, Wayne Bridge popped in.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought very, very interesting. He's just won SAS Who Dares Wins, the celebrity version. He talked a bit about that. Talked a bit of Chelsea.
And only I'd seen.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It didn't matter. You're going to be in the next series. We're putting you in. It's really easy. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine, Andy.
Yeah, of course.
You're mentally disintegrate ant. That's what'll happen. You'll be in tears because of you. Also, we had Lloyd Griffith pop in from Soccer AM, yeah. Grimsby fan goalkeeper. He was on good form. And we had a bit of a chat. We covered everything from the Royal Baby to last night's football and everything. So enjoy.
Everything. It was a pivotal weekend. Yeah. I thought it might be, but I didn't realise that. Basically, it's all done and dusted now, except for the top two. It was incredible. Well, I mean, you just couldn't imagine.
There's a mathematical
imagine.
Swing still
shut
out
up.
There in the ether, of course. Yeah.
But Arsenal would have to go and win 5-0 at Burnley, and you'd have to lose 3-0 or 4-0. They'd have to win, and you'd lose 4-0. All right, I think you're going to struggle a bit against Everton with a reduced team, but I don't see you losing 3-0. I definitely don't see Arsenal winning 5-0 at Burnley.
No, the odds are with Spurs. It was just mad, wasn't it? Everybody stumbling over themselves to be inept, apart from Chelsea in the second half against Watford.
They did play well in the second half, but that's
booed off in the
Chelsea
first, though,
season.
Isn't
it? They were terrible, and you know they only play one good 45 minutes, and it is interesting. I said to you ages ago that you know trying to play Kante in that position is the wrong idea.
Yeah.
And you didn't want him to get injured, but when he did get injured, it allowed Loftus-Cheek, who should be playing in that position, because that's a good position for him, to come on. And he was all right, a little bit slow starting, but once he got going, what a player he is. Really
I wonder if
fantastic.
There's any new... on Son, I mean, there was some talk that they may appeal that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Sending off. Well, Mark Housey was saying he thought it was more a yellow than a red, but I'm not altogether sure the referee won't be backed in that one.
No, it was a red.
It was a bit...
Foyt was a red.
Yeah, I think that's fairly safely a red. But on to last night. And I'm not altogether sure on a personal level, I have no more skin in the game on Liverpool winning the title. Pep saying he thinks the media want Liverpool to win. I don't mind either way. That was so dramatic and so exciting last night.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
But have you got honestly, I have no preference. I mean, they've both done brilliantly. Whoever gets it deserves it. I have no real preference. Mm. You've got a bit more of an axe to grind with Liverpool as a Chelsea fan.
But I have the same attitude to the league that I have every year. Doesn't matter who wins it. Whoever wins it deserves to win it.
Yeah.
You know, the league, it's an old cliche, but it's true. You can't cheat over 38 games. You know, you have to be the best team to win it. And if Liverpool win it, well done to them. They've been fantastic this year. And you know, I sneakingly admitted to my son on Sunday, he was horrified that I actually quite like Klopp. He wasn't happy with me. No, there is a bit of a thing between Chelsea and Liverpool. And look, they won that game, and deservedly so, and they're right up there. I've had an idea there. I was watching Line of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday. I've written to Jed Mercurio, the author, the writer, with an idea. I think Steve's brother for the next series, DS John Arnott, joins the team, and he sounds a bit like John Arlott.
Oh, okay. Does he really?
And he adds to the sort of like the sort of jargon with a bit of LBW, WG, and there's a sort of these cops meet in the pavilion at Lord's. So I've got this whole thing sussed out because you're not impressed.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Of course they haven't
even. I mean, the thing was, if he was, his name was Arlott, that'd be a brilliant idea, but he hasn't even got the same name.
But it's very similar.
He changed it in later life, so he wouldn't be compared with John.
That's right,
what
exactly.
He was. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
No problem. And it was too cold on the weekend for Ralph Hasenhüttl's wetsuit.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed.
Ralph Hasenhüttl's wetsuit, latest edition. And interview with James Ward-Prowse.
I don't know about you, at school, we used to call Ashley Barnes' new haircut, we used to call that a haircut by Sainsbury's meat slicer.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's a terrible one there, really. But, yeah, it's entertaining weekend's football. And what else did I see? Oh, yes, Derby. I'm very pleased about Derby. That was great. And pleased for Frank Lampard and Jody Morris. And it could be Derby v Villa. It could be the Lampard-Terry Derby.
Yeah, final, you mean?
The final.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously Derby the underdogs. But their go-ahead goal on Sunday, I taped the match and watched a bit of it, the highlights, my own edited highlights. And Mason Bennett, who got the go-ahead goal, it was a really interesting one there because he wanted to take his shirt off to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't quite get it off, and it took him quite a long time. And you're thinking to yourself, you've got time here now not to do this, because you're going to get a yellow card. You know you're going to get a yellow. That's not ideal.
This is that little beat to think again and not get a yellow card.
More than a beat. I mean, he just couldn't get the shirt off. So he ran all the way to the corner before the so he had all that distance, about 30 yards of running, to think to himself, I don't need to do this, really. Now it hasn't come off. I could just put it back on again. But he didn't. Fair enough.
Just the act of starting to take it off, is that enough? What does the law of football say? Has it actually got to come off physically, or just is it the intent? Is it intent, or does it actually... Who cares? Imagine that's a you are the ref, isn't it? Imagine failing your referee's exam on that, whether the whole thing's got to come off or it's just intent.
Talking of refs, Mike Dean last night, at the end of that match, he knew time was up.
Yeah.
And he made such a play, didn't he, of theatrically marking out both lines, making everybody get back. As soon as the ball was touched, he blew the final whistle.
Yeah.
He thought, oh, yeah, all right.
There was a great commentary moment last night. I thought there was a beautifully timed, I don't know if he rehearsed it or not, but when Iheanacho came on, he said...
Oh, what a chance that
was. Yeah, he said, they've gone two up top. Company's got...
Company.
I thought, oh, that's clever, Gary. I like that. Then drawing back from that, he was talking about great defenders' goals that we've seen in the Premier League, iconic defenders' goals. And he said, well, you know, you think about that goal by Company will be a goal we're watching years to come. He said, you know, Adams, Bruce, you can put that goal in the same bucket.
Yeah. I know, you pointed out that he, of course, it was Brackett, and I was thinking... Oh, yeah, of course it is. I thought, when I heard him say it, I thought, oh, it's obviously some sort of northern expression.
Maybe it is.
Same old bucket.
Maybe down here we say we can put that goal in the same bracket.
Not bucket.
But you tend not to say, you're going to put that moment in the same bucket, aren't you? But well done, Gary. I like the first one anyway.
It was good.
Martin didn't quite know what to do, did he, when the Company goal went in? He almost went Aguero, even though Aguero hadn't scored it. he just went, oh!
It's true.
Yeah, he just made a lot of noise.
Honestly, it was a fantastic moment there. Because when he got the ball, it was absolutely the last thing you expected to happen.
Yeah.
You just thought, oh, this is
well, including the Leicester defence. I said it was somewhere Tim Lovejoy was watching it saying, don't worry, it's only Vincent Kompany. It was like that
was
goal, wasn't
Ray
it?
Barber,
they just
it
all
was.
Backed off. Because you see Chowdhury, he's more worried about the runners behind him. So he's thinking, well, he's not going to have a shot. So
and
I'm
even if he
problem.
Does, he's not going to. Well, he hadn't hit the target since 2013 from outside the box. So.
Lovely. It was a great... I mean, having said what I said earlier on, we've seen it 50,000 times subsequently from every conceivable angle, including the chip in Vinny's brain. But it is a sensational goal, and it is a fantastic moment.
It was a great moment. But in the Arsenal game on Sunday, though, that it was 1-0 to Arsenal. I thought, well, that's fine. I'll stop paying attention to it. I'll go and watch England T20. The run chase, a very good run chase by Owen Morgan, played terrific.
Mm.
And I turned back and, blimey, it's 1-1. But then I was thinking, oh, well, then 1-1's bound. And I even sort of contacted Mike Bowen and said, it's getting very close to goal of the Emirates, Mike Bowen, which we always used to have when we were hoping Arsenal wouldn't win and they'd just get one in the 93rd minute to clinch fourth place for the sort of sixth year running.
Yeah.
But, that was a shock, really.
It was them and Manchester United. They were both real shockers.
Because it would have been hard. Spurs would have had, you know, difficult game against Everton with, you know, no Son and Foyt suspended and... You know, tough game against Ajax on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's a hard game. And Chelsea, you saw Leicester last night. Chelsea going to Leicester on the last day was no foregone conclusion at all. Arsenal, 1 point in 12. They really threw it away. It was absolutely theirs to finish fourth.
Leicester in good shape, aren't they, you sense, next season?
Oh, yeah, I said that to you, didn't I, ages ago. Yeah,
pre-season with Brendan, couple of signings.
Play some nice football. They've got some very good... I thought Chilwell did really well against... who's he?
Bernardo.
Silva, yeah. Brilliant, you know. So, yeah, I think all in all, they're going to have a good season.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Wayne Bridge with us in the studio a little bit later on. And we have the book club. The 150 at Weatherby is underway.
It's
we'll bring you the results shortly. Andy's nap this afternoon for no apparent reason whatsoever was Storming Norman.
I did notice though today, but it was the 750 at Wolverhampton or something tonight.
You noticed that, did you?
Yeah, there's a horse called Acker Bilk.
Really? You're going to get on that? I've been black and white stripes.
Jockey should wear a striped waistcoat.
And a bowler hat.
And a play the clarinet as he crosses the line.
That sounds dangerous. Three stories we can bring you now from the world of Italian football, and here to guide us through them, Italian football expert Tancredi Palmieri. Tank, good afternoon.
Buongiorno, guys.
Buongiorno. Let's start with this. Now, when we touch wood in this country, we find a piece of wood, we hurry around the building looking to touch a piece of wood. Because
touch wood.
Yeah, we're doing it now here on this kind of Formica desktop. but in Italy, it's different. And we know this because Maurizio Sarri doesn't touch a wooden surface. He makes a move towards is meat and two veg, as we say over here. It's touching of the genitals, isn't it? Basically, in
yes.
Italy, that's what you do.
Yes, and, yes, indeed. Which I don't know if it is a metaphor on how strong genitals in Italy are, or about what. But it just has been always like that. I mean, I heard you have Wayne Bridge in studio with you, so he might remember from the time of Claudio Ranieri at Chelsea, and I don't know who other guys, Cudicini also. But whenever there is someone that is wishing you something, and you are a bit superstitious about that, or whenever they are telling you something like, wish him good, and you have to be precautious. So a good old scratch of balls is always going with that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yep, Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. I know you won't sleep otherwise after our chat with Tancredi. We're wondering what exterminate is in Italian. It's sterminare. Sterminare. Il medico. So there we are. So you can do, garlics in Italian if you really want to. Dean Saunders was chatting to Max Rushton on breakfast this morning. I covered quite a lot of ground. Dean has got a bit of a sideways glance at the world of football, and he still maintains that Aubameyang's goal against Watford, when he stole the ball off of Ben Foster.
His logic was quite good. Yeah. It was from a striker's point of view.
Yeah.
But how many times you'd have to do that before it would actually work, and it was a great goal and blah. But, you know, that's not what you go to football, is it, to see? You have to say, which is better, Messi's free kick or that goal?
Yeah, but Dean maintains it's better than companies. Ben Foster's been in touch with the boys. They definitely prefer companies. Well done to him. But it did strike me. I saw Gary Lineker tweeting about the company goal last night, and he used that word again that I'm a big fan of when it comes to great goals. Context. I think a great goal isn't a great goal without context.
Very true.
And, well, not everybody agrees, because they'll say...
they're wrong.
Okay, fair enough. But they'll say a great goal is a great goal in isolation. If you score in a park
isn't.
And it's a 50-yard volley, it's still a
great,
great
goal. But it's not a great goal, if you know.
Which is why I always maintain the fourth goal. The people always say the greatest goal of all time is Brazil's fourth goal in that night, Carlos Alberto's. Mm. And I think... Now, Italy had given up. I could have, you know, they pass it around, they pass it to death.
I could have scored that.
Well, they do.
You could have just run onto it and drilled it in the corner.
Okay, I may not have got the finish, but if I put in as little effort, the Italian team is, 5 minutes left? The Italian team have gone. They've got nothing left. It's 3-1, and then I put in no pressure on the ball at all.
Yeah, well...
Honestly.
It's an argument.
So, well, it is an argument, and I'm prepared to have it right here, right now.
Yeah, not with me.
But anyway, there's a lovely bit of footage of... we saw there was... You may have seen, as Vincent Kompany hits the ball, there's a couple of City fans walking up the steps, probably to go to the loo or go home early. Cheers, George. See you next week.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
But there is one bloke who's got to the top of the stairs. He's going to the loo, or he's going to get a cup of tea or something. He gets to the top of the stairs, looks back down... sees it's only Kompany, and then just goes off. So he had so little faith in his captain scoring. He just thought, yeah, it's only Vinny. I'll go and get a cup of tea. But he's in pole position to stand there for another... literally a second
unless you needed to use the facilities. I can't see why you'd leave the game at that point. It was so well poised. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Talking of exciting, of course, we've been very, very exciting all weekend, hasn't it? Waiting for the baby Sussex.
Yeah.
And I do love these people who kind of wait outside. For example, people waiting outside Windsor Castle. And John Lockery, 64, from London's. He was interviewed before and after.
Yeah.
So before, he kind of said, what did he say? Where have I gone? Brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, well done.
So what did he say, Andy? John Lockery.
What he
in
said
London.
Was, it's so exciting, we can't wait.
Are you making this up now,
yeah,
aren't you?
I am, yeah,
you're just lying through your teeth. You're lying to the national radio audience. It's only on one piece of paper.
I'll find it at home. It'll be on the floor.
Okay, brilliant. Well, there we are. Just some of the things that people may or may not have said about the royal baby.
He said afterwards, he said, "For he's a jolly good fellow. This tops the royal wedding. It's a royal baby. We're all so excited."
Yeah.
Is what he said.
Great. Well,
not that exciting.
It's really good to hear.
He's going to be called the Earl of Dumbarton, which is a bit of a funny name for a baby. I think
it's a bit early to have that thrust upon you, isn't it? Yeah. You know, he's not going to be the landlord of the Earl of Dumbarton, is he?
Windsor Town Crier, 83-year-old Tony Appleton, dashed to the castle as soon as he'd heard.
Of course he did, yeah.
Oh, don't bother, mate.
Oh, yeah. We return to the subject of Vivian Bodycote 61.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a question about Vivian Bodycote.
I'm coming back to these royal things. I haven't cut all these out for
nothing.
Okay,
all right then.
Come on. I'll find the other quote.
She is a grandmother, is Vivian.
Yeah.
And she has got 37 tattoos of Jose Mourinho on her body.
Yes, it's not normal, is it, really?
Well, it's slightly obsessive. But the interesting thing was, her name is Bodycote. So did she choose the coat or body because of her name, or is it just the coincidence?
Good point.
I mean, it's true, isn't it? Have you ever thought? We have spoken to her on the show. That's right.
Yeah,
we should have asked her that question. We thought we wouldn't get her back today. It didn't seem right.
Body cover would be a better name for her, really.
It's pretty close, isn't it? I mean, what more? It's not good enough. Yes, great.
So, it was a coat of tattoos.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she has.
Vivian and her amazing coat of Jose Mourinho tattoos.
I don't understand the obsession with Jose Mourinho, unless you sort of find him incredibly attractive. And maybe that is the obsession.
Yeah, could be. Very understanding husband.
By reading this report, I learned that Jose was in line for the Celtic job.
Yeah, that's right.
They've suggested. Surprised me, really.
She said she will get a tattoo of him if that's the case, and she will become a Celtic fan, she says, which is great news for everybody at Parkhead. Tattoos of Jose include one of him wearing a Santa hat, which he obviously gets out every Christmas. I don't know where it is. And one inside an Easter egg.
Really?
Was this like Jose popping up like Marilyn Monroe?
That's kind of, that's right. So Easter, she sort of stresses that one. Maybe she wears a T-shirt with a sort of a hole where that one is.
What are you talking about?
No idea.
trying to justify all of this.
I don't know why, really.
Are you going to get the two, Andy? Would you get 37 tattoos of Maurizio Sarri about your person, including one of him in a Santa hat, then jumping out of an Easter
egg? I found John Lockery's comment before.
Okay, just give us that.
He said, "I think it could be a girl. It would be nice. I think Meghan and Harry would like that very much."
Okay.
He was wrong about that.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah, see, a 50-50 chance.
And I like Ingrid Seward, who's the, I think she's from Her Majesty Magazine. And she said,
Her Majesty Magazine?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. The Queen, Majesty Magazine.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
And she said, I'm sure the royal baby will be taught about things close to Harry and Meghan's hearts, the dangers of climate change.
Yeah.
That'll be the first thing they teach him.
That's the first thing they sit the Earl of Dumbarton down and get to grips with. That's it, Andy. For goodness sake. Pack it up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Well, we have the winner of SAS Who Dares Wins, the first celebrity version, and it's Wayne Bridge. Hi, Wayne, good to see you.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, how are you doing? Because they put you through it a bit. I mean, was it quite a while ago they recorded it, though?
It was, yeah, it was back in October, so I've recovered since.
Yeah.
But the recovery period was quite long, to be honest. I didn't think it would be, but the doctors and everything after is like, you are going to be tired when you get back. And I was surprised at how tired I was. I think there was like about three weeks. I was really, really tired, like mentally just drained.
I suppose you thought maybe doing a kind of celebrity version, they'd cut you a bit more slack than they do normally in that series, but it didn't look like they did, really.
Believe me, there's no slack at all. And it's a lot harder than what you've seen as well. You know, a lot of it seems to be cut down and obviously cut out because they've got to make it into a TV show and do a bit of editing. So it's a lot harder than it looks.
Were you sworn to secrecy that you couldn't tell people that you'd actually won it?
Yeah, but I told.
Is that easy?
It was pretty easy, to be honest, because a lot of people that I know love the show, and obviously, you know, they want to watch it and not know what's going on. Tried to tell my missus straight away, but just started bawling my eyes out. As you see, I like a cry. it was an emotional experience, yeah. But it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading subsequently today that you felt it's, you know, post-football, your confidence had been knocked a little bit, which I think people would be quite surprised to hear, but this was good for your kind of, your sort of self-worth and your confidence, this show.
It's definitely helped with my confidence, man. I'm definitely more positive. But I've always struggled a little bit with self-confidence anyway. I think it's one thing when Glenn Hoddle came into Southampton that he picked up on straight away. But I was one of them people, like when the whistle went, it was my mind was blank and it was just football, football, football. So outside of football, I've always lacked a little bit of self-confidence, I'd say. And obviously retiring, it was okay to begin with, but I found it harder and harder to adjust to normal life, really.
Do you think you'd, as a player now, with that issue, you'd get a bit more help simply because people are a bit more aware of kind of mental health in sport?
Yeah, I think so, definitely, 100%. And, you know, you hear the S-boys on the actual show talk about, you know, it's kind of the same, them coming out of what they do and the sports people are the same. But to be honest, I guarantee theirs is probably 100 times worse than what ours is when you see what they do and put their lives on the line and stuff. So I think more can be done in lots of areas, to be honest.
What was it for you then? What was the hardest thing to adjust to after football?
I just missed the buzz, I think. You know, it's probably the, you know, you're in that routine every day. You're told where to be, what to do. And then all of a sudden it's like, wake up and what do you do? I guess, you know, if I was to give any advice to any young players or any footballers, it's to kind of figure out what you want to do at the end rather than it just be there and you don't know what to do and you're trying to figure out what. So I think have a plan what you want to do after football, because it is a short career.
You didn't have not been working on a sort of parallel interest that you thought you might go down?
To be honest, I was just football, football, football all my life from a kid. I never ever thought that I would do anything else. So that's all I've ever wanted to do. And definitely, I thought I'd be fine when I retired. I thought I was actually ready to retire, but, you know, I definitely wasn't. Obviously, I had to for injury, but I definitely, if I could turn back time, I'd still be playing. And if I could turn back time, I'd have a plan what I'd be doing afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's good advice, I think, if there's any young players listening.
Absolutely. Now, I've got to thank you for one of my favourite moments as a Chelsea fan, of course, 2004.
The goal against Arsenal.
Goal against Arsenal. I was in India, I was on a holiday, and I was watching it, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was nobody else, and it was a posh hotel, and there was nobody else there, and I just went mad.
In the bar, were you?
Yeah, in the Taj Mahal. Leaping across the whole reception, the lobby.
That went well.
I went pretty mad as well.
Is that one of the career highlights, would you say?
Yeah, I find it really hard, you know, because, you know, I look at my debut for Southampton and I've always supported him as a kid, debut for England. But in terms of goal scoring moments, I haven't scored many. So it's definitely up there. It was one of the, especially in such a big game, you know, the quarterfinals, it was massive. We kind of threw it away in the next game, but yeah, that was a massive highlight for me.
Yeah, that was the Monaco semi-final, wasn't it? Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and it's, you know, annoying. Arsenal been so dominant over those years, and, you know, it was kind of a turning period. So I think it was. I think every Chelsea fan that I speak to is very grateful, to be honest.
But yeah,
I loved it.
We were talking about Sarri earlier on, and we haven't talked about Gary Cahill. It's going to be interesting to see what he does next career-wise.
That'd be a cue for his services.
Yeah,
I would
think so. But you know, sometimes when you're at a club and suddenly you're edged out and you're not getting game time, you found that situation at City. It can't be easy, can it?
Yeah, it's hard. Managers change and they have a different opinion of you. You don't get on with him in any way. It is very hard. I'm very surprised that Gary's going to be leaving, to be honest, especially an English player. And, you know, he's still got enough quality. There is going to be a queue of people that want him, I think. I just found it difficult because, you know, you're under contract and then you're not wanted. You know, they might stick you and play with the kids. So, you know, you're not even integrating with the first team. So those things are hard to deal with. You know, some managers are right and they treat you well. I think it all depends who's managing you at the time.
So that bomb squad thing they all talk about, you know, really does exist at football clubs.
Oh, I had it in Man City. I think there's at one point there's me, Nader Manua, Craig Bellamy, Shea Given, all training with the kids, Adebayor. And I was always one of them players that, you know, I was never any trouble, I was never going to cause any trouble. I don't think there was any need for it, you know, to train with the kids. If you're a bit of a bad egg, I think, you know, I can kind of understand it, but I never caused any trouble and I don't think most of the players didn't, to be honest. So I thought it was a bit harsh the way you were treated. I think one season I was told not to come back for pre-season, called while I was on holiday.
Wow.
You can come back when we've gone away. So
how do you address that? I mean, Roberto Mancini was the coach, wasn't he? How do you kind of go about, did you try and confront him? Did you have a conversation about it? Or does he have to go through sort of other parties?
It all depends on the manager. I think with him, he just kind of didn't want to know. He'd washed his hands of me. So to be honest, it was just get my head down, keep training, and I hope someone comes along and wants you. And I was lucky enough to have a few loan spells. Ended up at Brighton, which, to be honest, those times at Man City were quite hard for me. And going down to Brighton, I know it's down the league, but started enjoying my football loads. The fans were great to me, and I had a pretty good season. Sadly, after that, though, at Reading, my knees kind of gave in on me, so that was the end of it.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Are you good at remembering games, moments in games, things that happened, or is it a bit of a blur? For me, it would be a total blur.
It is a bit of a blur. If you... I don't know if you watched the SS show, one of the things that used to stand out in my head was probably the more negative things. That's why I definitely needed to be a more positive person and think of the positive. So like the West Ham debut sticks in my head. I played someone onside, I gave a penalty away. Those are the things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all a bit of a blur, to be honest. I never remember the dates or how many goals are scored in the day or what the score was in the FA Cup final and things like that.
You say it was all football. You obviously loved playing, but are you a kind of student of the game? Do you kind of follow it? Are you a football fan as such? Do you watch football if ever it's on?
I look to see how everyone's getting on, but I'm very hands-on with the kids, so my weekends are definitely with the kids. Yesterday we had a barbecue, so I was nipping in and out to watch the City game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not avid, but I'm always looking to see how they get on, but I don't always watch it, and that's mainly just because of family, really. I love playing football. I get together with Tom Sellers, a chef. He started off a game with my agency. We start playing against each other on a Friday and have a kick about. But to be honest, my legs don't last that long.
Oh, really? You said the knees
you must
gave
be
out.
Fit, though.
Yeah, I'm all right in straight lines. Football's very not straight line, right? A lot
so
of changes of direction.
That's what you just got right down the left hand side.
Joe Cole plays as well, and he's only just retired. He's on a totally different level to me now, although most would say he probably was anyway.
Vincent Kompany, another of your old teammates of City, you probably, if you nipped in at the right point, you would have seen him sort of scream last night.
I did see the goal last night. Yeah, I did see it.
It was interesting. We just chatting off air about his reaction at the end in tears. You won't look, you'd start reading into that, but I think we're all a bit surprised that he might not be there next season. Pep has said we're going to go and have a beer and talk about it, but you kind of hinted at his body language there. Maybe he knows something.
Maybe. I think it depends what he wants. It might be, does Pep see him playing still? How long would a contract be? Does Vinny still want to play, or will Vinny maybe not play and be part of the coaching team and go there? I don't really know, but if I was Man City, I'd want him to, if he does go, you'd want him back to be part of the coaching staff or some part of the club, because he has been there for so long and he's always had his head screwed on Vinny from a young age. He was always a leader and he was good around the dressing room. So I'm sure if he was to go, they'd want him back at some point to be on the coaching team. But I'd like to think they'd keep him, to be honest.
What's happened at City in this period has been, in the last sort of 5 or 6 years has been pretty amazing, hasn't it, really?
Beautiful to watch, isn't it, really? It's unbelievable. And, you know, playing for Pep, you look from the outside, it's like he just gives players the confidence. I would have loved to have played under him. I think most people would, though. You look at Sterling and what he's done. It's just the way he's got the team playing. It's just so nice to watch.
I'm sure Leroy Sané shares their view.
No, it's tough,
he's
isn't
a
it?
Really terrific player, but
it's hard to be him. He's got so many good players. It must be a headache for him. Must be.
Yeah, it's difficult. But we were saying earlier on, it does seem to balance it. Not too many of them are complaining, are they? I mean, someone like Mahrez, who's hardly had a sniff, did complain at Leicester, but hasn't really complained at City.
I think it goes to show how much they like him and being around, but I think, you know, that is going to wear off, I think. So it can't be easy for him to deal with. Can't be easy at all.
What about England? Because
we've got three left-backs. We've got Ben Chilwell, we've got Danny Rose, and we've got Luke Shaw.
There's talk of him going to Man City, wasn't there, Chilwell?
Thought he played well last night against
Bernardo
Silva.
Yeah, he is
Silver.
A good player. And, well, if he did go to Man City, I'm sure Pep would even make him an even better player. He could end up being England's number one.
They had a bit of a hug, didn't they, at the end? And if you saw our mate Jeff Peters, who's a Leicester
fan. Oh, he's definitely
fan.
Coming to City then. He's 100% coming to City. He's had the hug. He's there.
Put a caption done on deal it saying, see you at pre-season training. So, this sort of stage when you could be on the move. I mean, you were at Saints when you went to Chelsea, weren't you? Is the word out there? Do you kind of get a sense you're on your way?
You do, definitely. There's talk and everything, and there'll be talk amongst the clubs before it actually happens. I remember telling Gordon Strachan, he was like, "You ain't going nowhere, mate." I was like, "Well, chairman says I'm going, so I am." No, I'm going to give him a call. You sit there. So you do know it's happening. There's talk, and it does.
And the other boys know, do they? You kind of sense mentally you're out of the dressing room. Do they sense that?
Yeah, they do, but you know, it's. And a lot of it's not very serious chat when that's happening. It's probably with Southampton, you're going to the big money. Do you know what I mean? Just a bit of banter, to be honest. I found it really hard going. I think it was a no-brainer football-wise, but I was really comfortable at Southampton. I loved it, but the chairman was just, you're going type thing. But it was the best thing for me. Got to win trophies.
Yeah. You're taking on another challenge I saw on Twitter earlier on. That's made me buoyed by what you did on the SAS show. You're going on a bit of a... What is it about Southampton left-backs that want to take on a challenge after Franny Bernardo?
Me and Franny should do something together,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, you should. But,
I don't think he's ever going to go for a run again.
Yeah,
after.
I think that may be it. What an amazing job he did, though. We mentioned it last week. What a hero he was.
He is unbelievable. To do what he'd done last year, the run that he did and stuff, and to go and do this, 7 Ironmans in 7 days, is just unbelievable. He's definitely got something going on up in his head. He is mentally focused. But what I'm doing is obviously a bit different. 156 miles across the Sahara Desert, Marathon des Sables for the walking wounded, which is obviously a great charity. I need to get training, really. I've had a bit of time off since October.
Right. And the knees are going to be all right. You're running on sand. That might help.
I like to think it's going to help. Maybe if I lose a little bit of weight so I'm not carrying as much, I should be all right. So I'm hoping that hold up all right.
By doing the SAS show, has it kind of given you a kind of feeling for the military? Having spoken to the guys on the show, has it given you a kind of different perspective, maybe, and what they go through?
I think I've always respected the military, to be honest. I've said, you know, what was it like going into the room and them speaking to you and stuff? To be honest, I was a bit privileged to be in there with them, to be honest, because they've done such great service. To do it for the walking wounded, it is... I respect them so much. They do make you proud to be British, to be honest. So I'd do anything I could to give back to them.
So when will you be doing it, Wayne? When are you taking this on?
I can't remember the exact date. It's next April, May time.
Right. 50 degree heat. over 6 days, 156 miles.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick her running machine.
Paul said
in
he quite fancied it as well.
No, come and do some training. Come and have a go.
Yeah, well, yeah. I quite fancied it. 156 miles. Damn it. Half marathon nearly killed me. That was enough. Thanks very much. So
if you had to pick, we were talking England, we talked Chilwell, but then there's Danny Rose, there's Luke Shaw. I suppose that all of them would do a good job. Do you have a sort of particular preference? Or
I think Luke, at the moment, Luke Shaw, I think he's done tremendous coming back from his injury.
Hmm.
I think he's, because obviously there was a lot of doubt and he was struggling under Mourinho a bit, but I think he's definitely turned around. And, you know, looking from the outside, when I do watch him play, he is a fantastic player. And, you know, they're not having the best of times at the moment, United, but I think he is one of their better players.
We talked early on, finally, about missing football, and that was hard to adjust. I mean, do you want to stay in football in some way? Have you done your badges? You're thinking about it?
I haven't, and I'd never say never, but at this precise moment, I haven't done it. So, you know, I don't know. I prefer doing stuff, and that's why I find it quite hard to watch football, because I want to be out there.
Yeah.
Want to be out there doing it. So, you know, I'm, like I said, never say never, but I can't see myself doing it at the moment. I'd like to be involved in somehow, maybe, you know, talking to the young kids. Obviously I struggled with some of the self-confidence side off the pitch, so, you know, or even give them some guidelines in what to do, not to do, how to act. You know, sometimes when they're kids it goes in one ear and out the other, but I can try and give a bit back to the kids and hopefully point them in the right direction. Mm.
And you did I'm a Celebrity as well, so you did a bit more reality telly if the right thing comes along?
I don't think so. It's definitely not Strictly Come Dancing, I don't think. I think I can dance after a beer, but yeah, yeah. I'm not sure we're too good at
you've
that.
You've got a pretty decent dancer in the family. Yeah, Mrs. could give you
yeah, she's all right. Yeah, she's all right. We had a little dance off at a wedding at the weekend, to be fair. I think I won that one.
That's good. Well, good to see you, Wayne.
Thank you so much for coming in.
And good to see you, and all the best.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, making a welcome return to the studio. Now, star of Netflix new show, co-host of Flinch. He's gone global. It had happened in the end.
It's incredible.
Grimsby have gone global. Lloyd Griffith joins us. Hi, Lloyd. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You are already finding about the kind of, say, the global reach of Netflix, because you're getting some interesting texts and emails from people, aren't you?
Yeah, usually I just get the odd bit of abuse on a Saturday morning for being too tubby. But now I'm getting tweets from India. I got a message from my old teacher, Mr. Reddin, who lives in Australia, and his pupils have been watching Flinch on Netflix, and he was watching it in class. He was like, "What's that?"
He's obviously
like,
maintaining discipline like he did at your old school. Still,
I was going to say, I think it must be some sort of like wet break, but it's Australia. So,
tell us, I don't know anything about it. So tell me, what is the show?
So it's a comedy game show, a family friendly comedy game show called Flinch. There are three hosts: myself, Sean Walsh, and Desiree Birch. And then there are eight contestants in each episode. They have three challenges each to do. And every challenge, we pick one of those contestants just by luck out of a pot. And they rack up points for us. Mm-hmm. So they have to go and do these ridiculous challenges. So, for example, one of them is they're sat in a mechanical chair in a above a skip that is full of, like, horrible vegetable water. And then a washing machine will just come and fly at their face. And they're not allowed to flinch. And if they flinch, they then get kind of a punishment, and that is obviously being thrown into this skip of water. And then whoever has the most accumulative flinches at the end has to do their own challenge. So there was a bit of jeopardy for me, Desiree and Sean, in that kind of we were rooting for the ex-SAS man as opposed to the very scared 18-year-old drama student.
If you're pitching it, I suppose it's kind of, it's not like Total Wipeout meets a bit of Taskmaster. You know, it's got that kind of feel, but it's all set in a barn, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's like Wipeout meets Jackass meets kind of a little bit of Come Dine to Me, to be fair. and it is set in a barn about 35 minutes outside of Belfast.
Right.
And where the health and safety laws are very lax. Let me tell thee.
Yeah,
and to be fair, they didn't tell us much about what we were going to be doing. And I think had they told us probably a bit more, we would have been a bit hesitant before signing the contract.
Because you try a lot of these challenges yourselves, don't you, on the show?
Well, yeah, basically, we get one of us loses and every show. So there's 10 episodes in the series. And then one of us has to do them at the end. And, I mean, I was... in the edit, they weren't all filmed in order.
Yeah.
So actually, I think the one that is in episode one is actually episode 9.
Right.
That we actually filmed in order. But yeah, you're scared. You really are scared because you don't really want to be inflicted pain.
No, yeah,
there's,
no,
an,
I understand
there's an episode guide here on www.comedy.co.uk.
Right. Good job,
first episode. Contestants go for a dizzying dip. Target practice takes an electrifying turn. A train carrying special cargo causes a big stink. Episode two, popping balloons, swinging tires, and a chicken feeding frenzy separate the flinchers from the fearless.
Yeah, okay.
Fireworks put a judge in a painful position. The rest of it, they just go, contestants face a fresh array of alarming challenges.
Okay, they can go that sort of detail off the show too.
The train one, basically there was quite a large model railway that kind of like just went by you, but about 4 centimetres away from your nose, and each carriage had different things on it. So rotten meat with complete with maggots, cheese that was some of the worst cheese I've ever heard. Storstrømming, which is that fish from Sweden that you have to open underwater because it stinks so much.
Wow.
I've got very sensitive nostrils at the best of times.
Right.
And I threw up in a burn.
Oh, God.
Did you see that?
It was like an 18-year-old birthday party all over again.
But it was
fun.
So they're all available now, yeah?
So they, I think the term is dropped. They've dropped.
Okay.
On Friday.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. We actually filmed it a year ago.
Okay.
We actually filmed it a year ago. Yesterday, like 35 minutes outside of Ballyclare, and it was really
and they're
fun.
Half an hour, are they?
Or yeah, about 25 minutes.
About 25 minutes long.
So it's interesting, isn't it, doing a concert where you do something a year before time, and it's you pre-record 10, as opposed to Soccer AM, which is live, 3 hours live.
Yeah. It was really weird having kind of recorded it, and then there were months where I forgot that I'd done it. and then they go, oh, by the way, this is coming out in May. And then you go, oh, yeah. And then you have to watch it back again to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very, very weird. And obviously doing Soccer AM, that is live every single Saturday morning. But yeah, just different, completely different show, really.
Good stuff. So go and check it out, Flinch on
Well, I say completely
Netflix.
Different. I mean, yeah. I'm still the fat idiot in both of them.
Okay.
So there's a theme.
So you are a Grimsby Town fan and the club creditable-ish 17th this season in League 2. So how do you view the season?
Well, we finished higher than the playing budget that we've got. So I think that is always... I think we've got the third lowest playing budget in the league.
So you should have been Macclesfield, is that what you're saying?
Essentially, we should have been Macclesfield. But what a job Sol Campbell did.
Yeah, yeah, incredible. Kept him up, yeah.
I know, because he got a lot of stick at the start, you know, obviously.
Oh, yeah, he's rightly had the credit because no one gave him a prayer and people said, what's he going there? He's done a good job.
And he came in there and obviously horrible to see Notts County get relegated out of the Football League. That was always a good away day. But yeah, we finished higher than the playing budget we've got. Wasn't a spectacular ending. What was really good, a lot of new young players coming through. And then we had our Player of the Season awards on Saturday. James McEwen, the Grimsby Town goalkeeper, picked up Player of the Year, I think, for the third or fourth year running. I mean, I hope he stays. I love him.
It doesn't sound like you think he's going to.
Well, he's just too good, I think. But let's hope, they do keep up. He's under contract, but, these things always change, don't they?
We were talking early on about the lot of the goalkeeper and the fine margins, and Andy made a very good point about Mark Travers, the young Republic of Ireland goalkeeper who played for Bournemouth in his first game against Spurs the other day.
I think his name was probably the most Googled name in 2 hours on Saturday, because I think I know about goalkeepers, but I had no idea.
The point you made was a good one, I thought.
Well, it was amazing, wasn't it? Because Maurer had a shot,
and
it didn't go in.
It was like a Pelé in the 1970 World Cup in his own half.
But he was kind of out of position. And had that gone in right at the start of that game, his whole confidence and everything, could have been different. And
so it was really, it was a yard. It was a yard the side of the post, that shot. And if that
and
goes in, it's a
difference.
It's, who knows, the kid's career, sliding doors moment. That
also, because he got that save in early doors, not the best save in the world, not the worst save in the world. But because he got that confidence, then, crikey, he had a game and a half.
I thought the best one, actually, they weren't the reflex saves. I thought it was the one that Moura took down and then got into a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And he stayed on his feet. And that was a great bit of goal.
Stayed on his feet. He kind of looked a little bit like De Gea when...
He did.
But he just looked... We were at Bournemouth... in the week, actually, we did a You Know the Drill with Jimmy Tubes and Fenners. And we went down there, and the goalkeepers were training, but Arta and Asmir were in training, but we We didn't even see this lad, so I'm not sure if he was
apparently being... scored on his debut. I was reading Paul.
He scored on his, who did?
The goalkeeper.
Mark Travers, yeah.
Scored on his debut?
Yeah, he did. What? He said he scored the winner in his first game on loan at Weymouth in a 3-2 Southern League victory over Bishop Stortford.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Weymouth fans who saw that, let us know this afternoon. So you got the summer off then, if soccer I am.
So we got the last show of the season on Saturday. Guests so far, I think I'm allowed to say this, if not then I'll get told off in the next hour. Michael Sheen and Jack Whitehall, and one football guest, TBC. We're kind of like going off with a bang on Saturday morning. It's been fun, another 40 weeks. It's a long season, isn't it?
Not much.
It's been a great season, though.
It's been a great season. Yeah.
You know, in terms of the title race, in terms of some of the football we've seen, I think it's been
there was so much still, top and bottom of all the leagues, there was something kind of going to the wire, more or less, wasn't there?
It's quite funny chatting to a few of the guys that work in Sky Sports in the football department, and they're like, this has been the busiest season we've had because just there's so much going on. The title isn't decided, so many English teams still left in the cup and have been in Europe and stuff. So it's just been non-stop, especially when it's a season where there's no bit of downtime.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Well, there we are. And tagged on there, you did notice a bit of Tancredi Palmieri, of course, Italian football expert. We only put it in because our producer liked the way he said balls on a very bad line. So it's infantile, but you know, he's the producer, he can do what he likes. So we will catch up with you tomorrow from one. Thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.